and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and give us a glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and surprise, we are back early. I told you we'd be back on November 15th, but we're back on November 8th because we just had too much good stuff recorded to, like, not do anything with it. Season 3 is coming at you early, and it is looking good. We've got folks like Angel Olsen and Portugal the Man, as well as lots of great conversations with Austin artists like Walker Lukens and Night Drive. We're even going to talk to our first composer, Benjamin Wallfish, who did the music for It. So yes, you should go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe so you can get all these episodes delivered right to you. And we are asking you, the listener, for a little help during Season 3. Like, if you like this podcast, then please share it with a friend or two or 10. We want as many people as possible to hear these stories. But enough about Season 3. Let's talk about Gregory Porter. He's been releasing music since 2010, music that walks the line between jazz and R&B, and he's won 2 Grammys. He won Best Jazz Album for his 3rd record, Liquid Spirit, and Best Male Jazz Vocalist for his 2016 record, Take Me to the Alley. Gregory Porter is known as a great singer and a great songwriter. In fact, he was the primary songwriter on his first 4 albums, but on his latest record, he finds himself singing other people's songs, paying tribute to one of the great artists of the 20th century, Nat King Cole. It's called, appropriately enough, Nat King Cole and Me. And the record is gorgeous. Like, his deep baritone is complemented by a killer band and sometimes even a 70-piece orchestra. And you can feel the love and respect that Porter has for these songs. As he told me, that love for the music of Nat King Cole started incredibly early and has buoyed and inspired him throughout his creative life. So here he is, Gregory Porter.
When I was about 6 years old, sitting in front of the console stereo, listening to the music of Nat King Cole, and hearing that warm, rich voice hit my ears and really hit my chest and making me feel a certain way. The first song that came out, once I laid the needle on the record, very carefully, because I wasn't supposed to touch the record, was Nature Boy. You know, there was a boy.
There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea.
I recorded this little song on a tape recorder, and a little song I wrote called Once Upon a Time I Had a Dreamboat. And, you know, it was Once upon a time, I had a dreamboat, you know, and my mother played, and she said, you know, it basically kind of in that sassy voice, like, who do you think you are kind of voice. She was like, boy, you sound like Nat King Cole. Once she said I did something like somebody, probably wasn't true, but not at 5 and 6, but I put the record on, and in my mind, in my 6-year-old mind, I was like, that's me.
Little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he.
It's a unique melody, and in a way, the entire song exists. It's plodding along and setting up the punchline.
The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Uh, a simple, profound message is what that song is. And in my own writing, and in my even finding songs in which to perform, I like the idea of having a message, a nugget that I can carry with me, or that I can give to the listener to carry them, hopefully, for, you know, a great amount of time, or in some way that can affect their lives. Though there's great, you know, technical gifts on display, there's an incredible musicianship, I think just the humanity and emotion that's in his music was something that struck me. And if it's a message that my mother, again, you know, she's very instrumental in the advice for my career. At six, at seven, she always told me, she said, "Baby, sing with an understanding. Internalize the music. Feel it. Believe it when it comes out of your mouth." And I wonder, did Nat King Cole's mother, who was, you know, an organ player for the church that Nat went to, you know, I wonder, did his mother say to him, you know, "Baby, sing with an understanding"? Because I think that's what he's doing. He's internalizing these messages and letting it come out in a very emotional way, which is something that I do. This, if there's anything that is my contribution to music, to jazz, to soul, is that it's a connection to emotion.
And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way. While we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me. "The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return."
I was doing theater at the time in my early and mid-20s, and I would warm up with either, you know, Mona Lisa or Too Young, or one of Nat King Cole's songs. And I remember at several places, the directors would come up to me and say, I said, you know, "You should do a Nat King Cole story." And in my mind, I had always, I said, "Yeah, I want to. I want to do a Nat King Cole story someday." And then people would ask me, "Well, how did you get into Nat's music?" And I say, "Well, I came to Nat's music in the absence of my father. I put on Nat's records, and Pick Yourself Up, Dust Yourself Off sounded like fatherly advice."
Pick yourself up, take a deep breath, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Smile sounded like fatherly advice to me, and that's the way I listened to it when I was 6, 7, and 8.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by.
And so it had a deeper feeling and deeper meaning than just music, than just, you know, than just something that was being played on the radio, you understand? Then, you know, my closest friend started to say, "You know what, that's actually the story." And I'm sure Nat King Cole's life is amazing, and a biographical piece would be amazing, but the idea of the power of his music in your life is an interesting story. And so I took that idea and I wrote the musical. And it was my first time really calling myself a songwriter. It was the first time calling myself a playwright. And I wrote a musical with the same name as this record that I have out now. It was Nat King Cole and Me, how I came to Nat's music in the absence of my father, yeah. Something that I learned in theater is that the personal is universal. The idea that my singular story was relevant to 800 people a night that was coming to the theater was something that I had to experience in order to believe. And so that's what it was for me. That was the key. That was the catalyst that started me to believe that I could just say something about myself. I was able to write about my mother. I was able to write about Nat King Cole. I was able to write about my feelings about my father. I was able to write about my father. And that let me know, though this is a very personal story, it is something that is universal and that many of us have gone through or are going through. And so I started to think about the same thing with love, different conditions in our society, politics, protest, all of these things. And so then my songwriting just started to in a way blossom, because I realized that my emotions, my feelings, and my poetry are in a way, I'm not alone in this. It's a universal thing, yeah.
There will be no love that's dying here. The bird that flew in through my window simply lost his way. He broke his wing, I helped him heal, and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me.
I like the fact when I come up with a song, maybe it's on the subway or in the car, in the shower, on the plane. I like that it happens in this quite quiet and alone place. And before you know it, hundreds of thousands or even millions of people are listening to a private musical moment that you had, and you've given it to the world, and then it becomes something else. So I'm wholly fascinated by the whole process myself still. And how does the note and the sound and the timbre of the voice, how does it create goose pimples on somebody who is 30 years away from the time the recording was made and 5,000 miles away? You understand what I'm saying? I'm fascinated by the humanity that it is. But I like the fact that it's a mystery. I'm okay with music and the beauty of it being a mystery.
He ruled the land with his fist unfurled, with open arms for the world of hungry children. First he'd think to pull their lives from the brink.
And this is When Love Was King, the one song on Nat King Cole and Me that Gregory Porter wrote. It almost sounds like a song Nat King Cole would have sung, don't you think? Gregory Porter is on tour, and I will have a link to those tour dates on the show notes page for this episode, as well as a link to the record, because I know you want to hear the whole thing. You'll also be able to find a Spotify playlist on the show notes page where you can listen to all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. And hey, welcome to the team, Art. He is officially a This Song producer, and we are so happy to have him as a permanent member of the team. Jake Perlman recorded this interview. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.